All right, Nostalgia FC, 3-year anniversary episode with Owen, George, and Zordon from the Power Rangers.
You forgot your own name. You said me twice there.
Did I?
Yeah, you said Owen, George, and Zordon. I was like, are you calling right, yourself?
Just backtrack on that one. It's Nostalgia FC, back for the 3-year anniversary with George, Drew, that's me, and Zordon from the Power Rangers, not to be mistaken with Owen.
I am single, I did get drunk, I did buy Tinder Prime, and I fully regretted it, but yeah, here we go.
Little Nessie drove my nana to drink.
Yeah, he sells Hot Wheels out of his jacket.
I'd like to think that he knew that John Terry was a huge Saturdays fan.
And that Campbell Soup is a big deal. Pele is Jay from In Between Us.
Luigi, don't quit your day job, mate.
Who do you think is more handsome?
Xabi Alonso.
Pirlo. If you say it with chest.
Sorry, you just have to guess. Do you want to go to the toilet? You ever seen a baby pigeon?
He was good mates with Pablo Escobar from what I read.
Mara who, sorry?
You're a pair of twats, you know that.
Hello and welcome back to the Nostalgia FC podcast for this, our 3-year anniversary special episode with your hosts, me Drew.
Me George.
And me Owen, back for some special content.
Did you think he was going to
say Zordon?
Zordon,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
For context, it was in the listeners, intro. You've heard us say Zordon a couple of times. If you've never watched Power Rangers, go back and watch it, it's great. But Zordon was the floating head in the jar, essentially. And Owen's setup means that his face is so close to the screen that he is literally a floating head. Stay tuned for Instagram content coming your way in regards to that. Just a confirmation of Owen's face right up against the screen.
I'm hoping I can move my face in front of the microphone so you can't see how many chins I've got now I've shaved to just a mustache.
Oh, yeah, I should do that as well, actually. Well, what are we doing today? The very start of this podcast, 3 years ago, 2020, when we started on the 10th of November, we released our first episode and actually featured Mr. Owen Quilter Cone. He was only Mr. Owen Quilter back then. He's been married since then. But that was our very first episode and our introduction into podcasting. So we thought, why not come back, the three of us together, now that Owen's here permanently anyway, and me and George are going to remix the teams that we picked way back when. I think they were like the 10th and 11th episodes we released.
Yeah,
like March 21. So we're going to rejig our teams, and one of us has done it the right way, and the other one didn't listen to the brief and has done it however he wanted it. Now, I'll let you guess who is who by the tone in my voice.
Look. This can't be proven, for one, because I can't find a message that says the full rules.
It was a voice
by the rules in what you... Oh, damn it.
He's found it.
There is evidence of a voice note. So replay it right now. Anyway, so what we're going to do, or what I'm going to do, is pick a team of players from clubs that I don't support or countries that I don't support. George is just going to do another team that he likes, which is nice, isn't it?
So just for context, I thought the remix team was just we pick a full new team of new players that we didn't use last time, was my thought, but I did it wrong.
That's hey, it's fine. You know, you did it the way you wanted to.
I mean, I could change, but it'd be very quick.
Well, let's just leave it the way it is. Before we jump into this team, just a massive thank you to everyone for listening to us. If you ever listen to us from the start, if you've joined us along the journey, thank you so much for listening. We love doing this podcast. It's given us a chance to reconnect with old friends, stay connected as friends ourselves, because these two bastards abandoned me and left me in North Wales to go and live in England. God. If you go back to the very early days of this podcast, you would not have guessed that two people would end up living in England at that point. But yeah, we've managed to stay connected ourselves, met new people, had TikTokers, influencers, podcasters, the creators of a sick game, everyone in between, our dads, Owen's dad, everyone. It's been great. Let's jump into the football teams. So originally, when we did these teams way back when, Owen was the guest host on my episode, and Niall Baxter, fan favourite, was the guest host on George's episode. And if I remember correctly, George did a very heartfelt dedication to his grandfather at centre back, and then Niall ripped the piss out of him for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was. Niall back on just to save George's blushes. But yeah, so we'll go back into our teams. We'll talk about who we've selected now and a quick fire double hitter of the episode, just to celebrate 3 years and sort of bring it all full circle before we crack on with the next 3 years and beyond. Isn't that nice?
Lovely.
Lovely.
Is this the first episode we've all got mustaches as well?
No, we did it last year.
No, yeah. As in this year.
All right, yes.
Yeah.
Please don't.
So, yeah, we're all sporting mustaches. Oh, don't, I don't have to do that. There's an ad now.
Oh. Please don't.
There's a man who clearly did not listen to the last episode we released, you bastard. Right.
I was in it.
Well, listeners of the podcast, you'll know there's an advert going to come up soon about November, and then there might be another one later about the football game. And then the third one will be an advertisement for the post of co-host on this podcast, because George is getting fired. Hey, look, we've come full circle.
Hey, it's fine. I got a swanky new job now.
No oh, more late doesn't night need this anymore. Too big for us. Here we mo again. It's November, which means it is Movember, and we have become Mostalgia FC. We've changed our podcast logo and everything this year. But more importantly, we will be growing some mustaches in the aid of Movember, trying to raise some awareness and some cash, if you can, for this wonderful cause, all centered around men's health. Now, they can explain it much better than I can. So if you head to our socials, head to the link in the bio, you will find a link to our Movember page, which tells you all about why we're doing this, what it's all about, how you can get involved, how you can help. You can donate there, you can learn more. There's links, there's everything you could ever need in regards to Movember on that website. So head to our socials, follow the link, and get involved with Movember at Mostalgia FC. Let's get into this. So I'll go first because I understood the concept and I'm going to do it first. So.
All right, we're going to stop with this. Okay.
So my original team, if I remember correctly off the top of the dome, well, in fact, I don't have to remember off the dome because I have this lovely T-shirt which tells me it. Which is quite helpful, actually, because I forgot to write this down. My original team was... Oh, it's inside out. This all come out in post, don't worry.
You've got a T-shirt with your team on it. When did that happen?
Who do you think would buy me that?
Oh, it's the floating head, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Zordon. Yeah. It's a present from Zordon himself.
Oh, yeah. You should have worn that for this episode.
I'm wearing a Saint Etienne after my son.
I know, but that could have been a different anyway, episode.
So we've got in goal El Gato himself, Mr. Quilter Cone, the floating head. Actually really good in goal for someone with no limbs. Matt Jones, centre back. Tom Lewis, otherwise known as Claude, who played with in uni. Daniel Agger at centre back, and then into midfield, the Welsh Chavy, Joe Allen, Stephen Gerrard and Xabi Alonso, with Arda Turan playing off a front three of Shifu Shabalala, Dirk Kuyt and Luis Garcia. And my super sub was Joe Lolly. My manager was my manager from university, Matty Hill. Stadium was Anfield. And my kit was the Columbia World Cup shirt that I own. So, coming at you with the remix. I was about to make an R. Kelly reference. Maybe leave that alone.
yeah, just cut that one out completely, please.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I'll definitely come out in post. Oh, well.
That bleep button's getting used today. All right. So,
with your remix, will you be remixing your formation?
Oh, yes. I will be.
I think I am.
To what?
So... Thanks, Owen, for the prompt.
Yeah, in the hang of this podcast thing.
Yes, I am, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. So, yeah, I've gone for a 4-4-2, actually. Throwing it back, changing it up.
All right.
Switching it up. So, my new team, as I've selected a team of players for clubs that I don't support or countries that I don't support, it's just basically a selection of players that I've signed on FIFA and Football Manager over the years. It's essentially what I've done here.
I was with a few just about to ask if they were all Football Manager purchases.
Pretty much, yeah. So starting off in goal, I've got Espanyol legend Carlos Kameni.
All right.
The Cameroon goalkeeper. Former Cameroon goalkeeper.
Cameroon goalkeeper, indeed. Carlos Kameni was a fantastic player back on Pro Evo, and I used to sign him for every club that I would go to, and I think he's a great goalkeeper. He was linked with United for ages and other big clubs for ages too. Never really went anywhere big, as far as I recall. But great shot stopper, old school goalkeeper, none of that passing out from the back nonsense, just get it out as soon as you've got it. And yeah, Carlos Kameni makes his way into goal. So Owen, you've been ousted by Carlos Kameni. How do you feel?
To be honest,
I mean,
it was only a matter
one
of time,
had 71 caps for Cameroon, the other, you know,
I have no
played on the banana pitch.
You are aggressively white. You do not have any caps for Cameroon.
That's just the lighting, I promise.
Right, so yeah, that's my new goalkeeper. My right back, which I didn't have last time because I played three centre backs to try and jam some players into the team. So this one's more of a conventional team, actually. At my right back position, I've got a player who I absolutely love for all the clubs he played for, and I think he's one of the most underrated in the sense that no one really talks about in players in the history of football, is Gianluca Zambrotta.
Ooh,
yeah, he was absolutely fantastic. Could play midfield as well, which is...
Yeah. I just love Zambrotta. I think when he was at Barca, that kit, playing Ronaldinho, he just looked the biz. And at that point in my life, that's all I cared about. If you look at the other business, then you must be good. And also, a fantastic, fantastic little stat for you. And we love this on this podcast. This is a proper throwback. He has exactly 100 caps for Italy.
Oh, that's satisfying.
We love that. We've had so many players on 99 this podcast, but yeah, 100. 472 appearances in his club career. Played for some huge teams. Juventus, Barcelona, AC Milan, Barry. Always loved that because it makes me think of Gavin and Stacey, but it's not. It's the Italian Barry with a chicken for a logo, which is even better.
Chicken Barry, not yeah. February.
Oh my God.
A little known fact, that's actually Gianluca's nickname is Chicken Barry. But yeah, of course, he is a World Cup winner, 2006 in Germany. He did win the World Cup with Italy as well. So a fantastic player that I used to love signing as a right back on FIFA because I didn't play FM back then. I was too young. But yeah, a great player and I love him very much. So he's in there. Now, curveballs. Here we come. This next one. Centre back. I should say this time as well, I've not picked any players I played with. These are all just actual players. So at centre-back, the first one, I've actually expressed his opinion a few times as to him being one of my favourite ever Premier League players. He did make it into my team on the Premier League draft that we did. It is Olof Mellberg.
Okay.
Nah. The Viking.
Yeah. The Viking himself. Never has a man looked so mean and played for such a boring football team.
He got to Juventus. He played a few games for them.
Yeah, true.
Why when you type Melberg's name into Google, the first result is Olof Mellberg wife?
Well, even more reason to keep him in the team.
No one wants to look at Olof Mellberg.
That's a sinister reason, in which case I will change it very quickly.
No, it's not sinister, don't worry.
Oh, that's good.
There's actually no photos of her, so it's just a really random search.
Maybe that's why. Maybe she's missing. That's gone.
Oh, she is.
Missing?
Yeah.
What?
What?
No, I'm joking.
Ah, there's the actor. There he is. So, Olof Mellberg and his missing wife, or not, great player. His wife isn't partnering at centre-back because no one can find her. But he is a fantastic player. Again, I think pretty underrated. Such a solid centre-back.
Yeah.
Could have played for a bigger team in the UK, in my opinion, but... Back in those days, again, he looked the business. So he's just in the team because he looked the business.
He looked the business.
I'm doing a throwback to George's hot or not section from the start of the podcast 3 years ago. And oh, just God, throwing in loads of hot players. Which will stop now. So my next centre-back is a former Leon player, Brazilian player, Chris.
Chris.
Ah, big Chris.
Spelled C-R-I-S. Chris. Not to be mistaken with my dad. He was not Brazilian.
He'd go at the back. He'd do a job.
I think he was a centre-back, to be fair.
The first thing when I type in Chris in Google is the Central Registration and Identification Service for buying touring caravans.
That's what he's in for.
It's what we need in this team. In there.
Loves a caravan holiday. Get Chris down to Towin.
Well, aside from his love of caravanning and touring the UK in a caravan, the reason I put Chris in is because in Pro Evo, I think 2008, maybe, I just signed him for whatever team I was playing. I think I was playing Master League, so he was like partnering like Jimenez or whatever made-up player was in Pez teams in Master League at that point. But
oh, it was like the team you start with.
All them boys, like Valeri. Palmieri. Yeah, all them boys. So I put Chris in there in amongst the mix, and he had a face scan on Pro Evo, and it was just a bald head, so it's very clearly him the whole time. But I also love Lyon as a football team. I'm currently wearing a Saint-Étienne shirt, but I love Lyon. If I had a French team, it probably would be Lyon. And I love the kits, love the team. So Chris, a fantastic player, and makes it into centre-back in my team.
Go on, Chris.
Yeah. Big Chris. Gassed through his managerial career. Like spends like 2 years, one season maximum at any club, and then moves on.
Including Goal FC.
Goal FC, wow. That is Goal what FC? You would call your Pro Evo team when you were 10
founded
years
in
old.
2000.
Good lad.
Refounded ground. In 2020.
Oh my God, it went missing like Melbourne's wife.
So, hang on, the Goal FC's ground is the Ludovic Julie Stadium. That's wow. A hell of a shout of an old player.
Do you know anyway. What? If I was to remix my team as well, Julie gets in because I thought he was brilliant.
There you go. Unfortunately, you weren't asked to do that, so shut up, Owen. Right, okay. On to my midfield. Oh, no, sorry, left back. Know your place, Owen. You got to be here for 3 years before you get to remix.
Get back in your box.
So left back, I've gone for a Spanish World Cup Euros winner, Juan Capdevila.
What a player he was.
Yeah,
he was like,
and again he looked the business.
2008
when he had the slick back hair with a bit of the mullet at the back, I expressly remember Owen having a pretty similar haircut at the time. And
all based on
shirt, playing in that team, just unbelievable Spanish team. And he was so good bombing up and down that left hand side. Villarreal legend. I think he's just a fantastic player. And again, in my opinion, one of the most underrated because people don't talk about him in the conversation. Left backs of all time. I think he's just fantastic.
He was even underrated in that Spain team that won everything because he was solidly in it for when they won three tournaments on the bounce. Yeah, everyone always remembers it being Jordi Alba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I just think he's fantastic, and I think
One of the teams he played for was called Northeast United, and I was like, surely not. Surely he didn't go up to Newcastle and just find a local team. He didn't. It's an Indian football club, but...
Northeast United sounds like what Pro Evo would call Newcastle.
Yeah.
God, it's a Pro Evo episode, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I used to, that's a lot of my childhood, as you know, because you were there.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
So, I didn't realise I'd done this, but I've done three Spaniards in a row. So,
that's not allowed, according to the rules, apparently.
You don't even know the rules. How would you know that?
Specifically that three Spanish players aren't allowed.
Oh, yeah, so... but I'm the aggressively white racist one.
So, moving on quickly before we've managed 3 years without getting cancelled. Let's not get cancelled now. So, on the right hand side of my midfield, I've got Real Betis legend Joaquin.
Yeah.
Joaquin.
Yeah.
Soon as you said Real Betis, knew exactly who it was.
We both went, it's Joaquin.
He's just unbelievable. The fact that he is only just retired this year. With 736 club appearances. He's like the Spanish James Milner.
Yeah, I think he's better than James. Well, was better than James Milner. I don't know how he was at the end.
My main memory of him, to be honest, is him playing at Valencia in the mid-2000s to the early 2010s. But obviously, he played most of his career at Real Betis. Made a brief foray to Italy.
Joaquin on like all these video games.
He's just so good, and I just love him. I think he's one of those players that's just solid, like 7.5 out of 10 every game.
Yeah, and he was a proper old school winger, wasn't he? Like,
yeah, just so good. And like, yeah, and he's just a fantastic player. And like him, and the memory I have on either side for Spain was him and Vicente.
Oh, yeah.
He has the joint record for La Liga matches, like appearances.
Ooh, who's it joint with?
I actually don't know. It doesn't say, which is really annoying. But probably surely, Puyol, right? Surely, if you, again, like with goalkeeper? The caps situation, just give him one more.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wanted to be a bullfighter when he was growing up, not a footballer.
Well,
nice. Someone's don't come true, Wikipedia page. Back in your box. Kick that ball. Leave that ball alone. Yeah, I think he's a fantastic player. And yeah, I just love him. And I, again, used to sign him all the time on any video game I was playing, even as late as last year's Football Manager. Signed him on a free for Espanyol. Love
how,
it.
How was he?
Very old, very broken, and didn't really play. But it was but nice to have him on board.
Yeah, he was there.
Great, great presence in the dressing room.
That's it. So the computer tells me anyway. So against George's wishes, I'm going to go move into my midfield here for my third Spaniard in a row. Sorry, George. And we've gone for Marcos Senna.
Fair play.
So I've gone pretty Spain heavy, but I will say Joaquin was never featured in the World Cup or European Championship winning squads. So he's a different era of Spain, I guess. But
Marcos Senna, Villarreal, right?
Yeah. Him and Capdevila played for the same team. And then he didn't start playing for Spain until late because he's technically Brazilian. But he got Spanish citizenship from playing in Spain and then played in the Euros that they won. I don't think he was actually part of the World Cup squad after that. I'm fairly sure he only won the Euros
Diego
with them.
Diego Costa before it was cool.
Exactly.
I still don't get but how you can do that.
Marcos Senna is just, for me, like the blueprint archetype that like N'Golo Kante is. You know, like he was like a bit like Makélélé before, after Makélélé was cool. But he's just...
I think you're closer with Kante because he was more like, people always compare Kante and Makélélé, but Kante is more forward thinking. And Senna was like bombing. He'd break forward and he'd have like amazing long shots.
Yeah,
so
true.
I think you're spot on with that one.
He's only capped 28 times by Spain. And like I said, he didn't win the World Cup or the Euros afterwards. He just won that first Euros with them. But they had that iconic kit. Torres and Villa were playing. Capdevila on the left. Puyol, like Ramos, all the boys in there. Casillas, and such a great Spanish team. And like such an iconic era of Spanish football. And I think he was like, in that team, was like the linchpin before Xavi and Iniesta properly took over that midfield and made it their own. Mm. He was like that more like aggressive version of the Spanish team that evolved into what it became. But he was like their sort of stopgap before they figured out how to just pass the ball around everybody. Yeah. And also, something that I love about him is that he finished his career at New York Cosmos, a team that doesn't exist anymore. But I love New York Cosmos. I know my arch nemesis Pelé played for them, but I do have a New York Cosmos jacket that I love very much, and I think it's just an iconic.
They're not even an MLS team, are they?
No. I don't even think they exist anymore. I think they've folded, have they?
They folded in 1985. They come back as like a USL team or something.
It says they were founded August 1st, 2010, but I'm assuming that's like the refounding.
Yeah.
And they've been on hiatus since January 2021, citing the COVID-19 pandemic.
Someone better tell him. Lads, you know it's finished now, right?
It's over.
The New York Cosmos are still in a bunker somewhere going, all right, it's all right, lads. We'll get out of here.
They've won the Soccer Bowl twice.
Get in. Everyone knows the Soccer Bowl is better than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, of course it is.
Right, so Marcos Senna sitting in that midfield. So I guess I'm going to go for a diamond, a 4-4-2 diamond. I didn't really think about that until now, but yeah, I will. So Senna will be my CDM. So my attacking midfielder, my CAM, if you like, going through video game terms, is Kaká.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yeah. I was thinking about this. How has he not made more appearances in this podcast? I think he's featured like twice.
Because we have had lots of Liverpool fans on, and
I think we've had mostly Arsenal fans, to be honest. But Kaká is just like watching him play in that Champions League final, both of them, the one that we lost and the one that we won. He was just unbelievable. The way he moves between the lines, just an absolute pile driver when he fancies it. He's got that delicate balance. Such a great passer of the ball, progressor of the ball, just an unbelievable player, link-up player. Can do the nitty-gritty if you want him to. I think, again, a criminally underrated player. Obviously won the Ballon d'Or before Messi and Ronaldo went crazy and took him all over. But yeah, Kaká didn't do very well at Real Madrid, let's be honest. But at AC Milan, unplayable, a fantastic, fantastic player. And yeah, then went to MLS, played for Orlando FC. Cool kits, purple and gold, nice. But yeah, Kaká's just that iconic celebration of him pointing up to the sky.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. One of the best Brazilian midfielders to ever play in Europe, in my opinion. I think he's absolutely fantastic. A hybrid of loads of different kinds of players rolled into one. And I think, obviously, the career move to Real Madrid, he actually signed for Madrid in the same summer they signed Ronaldo, in amongst Benzema as well and loads of other players at the same time. But I think he sort of got lost in the shuffle of the Ronaldo move, and I think maybe he would have been better off staying put. But obviously, when if you're from South America and Real Madrid come calling, everyone knows that tends to be the move you make. But I think he's a fantastic player. And
is it just South Americans or is it everyone? I feel like if Real Madrid come calling, anyone goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. But, you know, I don't feel inviting you, mate.
Perhaps not.
Right, so
here you are, lads. There's this 30-year-old Welshman who's living in Liverpool at the moment.
Well, actually, before this recording, he did describe himself as Squelch. So he was very close to being removed from this podcast permanently.
Yeah, he said he'd evolved into someone who's now Squelch, and it's not an evolution in my eyes.
Let's move on swiftly. So in the left mid position for this remix team of mine, I've gone for someone that once scored a screamer against Liverpool at Anfield. It's Shimao Sabrosa. Benfica that's winger.
That's a left field pick for you. I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, he's on the left field.
Yeah, that is true, yeah. Well done, Owen. You're following along. Good lad. Shimao Sabrosa. He ended up playing for Atletico Madrid as well. He was long linked with Liverpool, actually. And I don't know if it was the goal that he scored against us in the Champions League that sort of made us not want to sign him, but he was a great player and I loved watching him play. He was one of those players that had that sort of cut in and smash it. Another North East United alumni.
North East United player.
And oh, really? A very, very, very nice thing.
That left side.
Yeah, a very, very nice thing. 500 total appearances in his club career.
Oh, yeah. One more goal would have made it nicer.
Yeah, true. But, you know, we'll let him off for that. But, yeah, a fantastic player. And I think it's one of those sort of vibes players where if he's having an off day, you're like, yeah, this guy's no good. But when he turns it on, he's unbelievable. It was a toss-up between him and Quaresma for this position for me.
Which is, when he turns up,
Yeah, but I didn't put Quaresma in because he played for Chelsea and I hate Chelsea, so he's not going in there.
Okay, incredible goal, the one you're on about. I just watched it. Horrendous defending.
Yeah, well, you see who's defending against him.
Absolutely dire.
It might have been Glenn Johnson. But yeah, he's a fantastic, fantastic player and I love him and I think he's a fantastic addition to my team there. Very tricky winger, can smash it from anywhere. Lots of long-range goals coming from this midfield. Which is tasty. We like that.
It's got that FIFA connectivity thing going on the left with his North East United teammate, Cap de Villa.
That's what you want. So he goes on my left-hand side of the midfield. So now we're going to go up front for my two strikers. One of them, I don't think will be a surprise. He actually featured in my underrated 11. Or is it The Streets Never Forget? We've done a lot of concepts. He was in one of them. It is a man that once had 99 shot power on Pro Evolution Soccer. It is Adriano.
Fair.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable player. Wow, what a player. He just, the way that he could just smash a ball. Again, one of those players where it's a what could have been player for him, because obviously he let himself go quite a lot and had a lot of issues with drugs, alcohol and weight gain and stuff. But
general fitness.
Yeah, he just, but when he was on, what a player, man. What a player. Like, he was just, the way that he would,
he was
pick
almost
up the ball,
like pipped as the next Ronaldo, wasn't he?
He was, and I think
Brazilian.
I don't
Ronaldo.
Think his physique helped him with that comparison, because people are like, oh yeah, he definitely is. But he's just, the way that he got about the pitch for like a bigger player is just unbelievable. And I think him in that Inter shirt in that era, he's just so good.
The Inter away kit, the grey hoops one.
Yes,
that's
iconic.
Just how I see Adriano.
Yeah, he just, unfortunately, his career petered out massively, and he, like, the past few clubs that he played for, he made like a couple of appearances at each. But if you look at his like goal scoring record for Brazil, 27 goals in 48 games is no mean feat in that era of Brazil. I think he's just an iconic player for the way that he strikes the ball. Honestly, that's the way I look at it. I see him and I just see, like, put your foot through the ball, no backlift, just smashing it. Unbelievable. But he also had that delicate skill and, like, again, long range strikes. This team's just long range strikes all over the shop, but he's just so good and I love him. So a great player to put up front of my team.
Bit of a weird one, this. So, and this is going to sound like I'm going really left field with this. So I was watching the F1 this past weekend, and because it's in Brazil and they always have like celebrities on the track, like it was sort of going along and like showing all the celebs that were there, and it was, Adriano was there, but so was Kaká.
Nice.
So you've just picked two people who've just been on TV recently in Formula One.
So go. My next pick is Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh my God, get him off screens forever.
It's not Machine Gun Kelly. So partnering him up front, not a lot of pace in this front line, I'll be honest, but a lot of goals from this man. It is Luca Toni.
What a player he was.
Iconic celebration of whatever that means. Loved it. Did it before Diamante Cameron did it.
Turn up.
Everyone used to do that.
But yeah, I mean, this man, absolute bags man, scores goals wherever he goes. Just unbelievable player. Like, so tall, so like skillful, a great finisher. I always remember him playing for Bayern Munich, just looking fantastic. 38 goals and 60 appearances for them. 47 and 67 for Fiorentina, 50 and 80 for Palermo. And then, like, sort of drops off a bit after that. But then, like, to finish his career, he retired on 48 goals and 95 appearances. So his final tally.
That's actually decent.
586 appearances, 268 goals. That's an insane amount of goals.
Yeah. Fair play.
But yeah, I think he's such a fantastic player. And I really, really enjoyed watching him play. I think
he didn't.
Because he's
break
so
through
tall.
Until quite late, did he?
No. He was great, and he was like quite a pressing striker, and he just wasn't. Yeah.
Do you think strikers like him would still do a job in today's game? Because I almost feel like you have to have pace now as a striker.
Yeah. It all starts with a high press, and he definitely wasn't that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he was a straight up target man, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He wasn't pressing the first man. He was waiting for the ball to come to him and then doing something magic with it. But yeah, apparently, Wikipedia says that throughout his career, Toni was known for celebrating his goals by looking at his teammates and rotating his right hand next to his ear, as if to say, "Do you realize what it is that I have just done?"
Is that what that means?
I don't think so.
If that's not written by AI, I don't know what is. That is in description. Yeah, he's just very, very good. And I think he's just a fantastic player. And we'll just ignore his out of football life. But as a football player, fantastic.
Yeah, get rid of that.
So, onto the bench. My super sub is Guti. I really wanted to put him in, but then I thought it'd be too attacking because Guti was...
Yeah.
Guti was the glue that held together the Galacticos.
Guti was Modric before Modric.
Oh, shout.
That's a quote.
Yeah, he's just so good. Like, he's just so good, and I love him. And, like, with that blonde, slick hair, and then, like, just playing alongside Figo, Zidane, Carlos, all the boys, and he was just in the middle of that, just being fantastic. And
That's the thing with that team. You've just mentioned all the players that were in that team. Like, there were some special players in that team that did just get lost because the big names and the celebrities almost were there.
Yeah. But it's just unbelievable player, and I love him very much. So Guti gets in the substitution for me.
Only 13 matches for Spain.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Vastly underrated, but I think he was
mental, a
system kind of player. You know what I mean? Like he was a Real Madrid player rather than it's like Mark Noble at West Ham. You know what I mean? He's a club player. He's not an international man.
Yeah.
So moving on to my manager, I thought long and hard about this, and I don't really have many managers that I like that aren't ones that I support. So it's me. I'm the manager.
Fair enough.
I'll just take Wikipedia down for that one then, shall I?
I made one just for this. My managerial highlights include winning the FA Cup for Stoke in 2012, getting Wrexham to the Premier League in 2014, getting Colwyn Bay when they were in the English leagues promoted. But yeah, I put myself as manager for this because, as I said, a lot of these players were players that I signed on either Football Manager or FIFA. So it's only right that I manage them. And also, I don't really like other managers because, I don't know. I thought about who I could put in, but yeah, I've gone for me. I once managed a 22-all draw for a women's six-a-side team. There's my career highlight, I think.
What was your tactical approach to that game?
Give the ball to the good one, and then everyone else run around. Because one of the players was significantly better than the rest of them. She was a great player. Still is. And the rest weren't too good. Including George's ex-girlfriend. So let's move on.
They were dreadful.
22 all, though. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Just to round it off, my new kit is, I mentioned it before, but my new kit is the Leon 0506 kit. It's an Umbro kit. It's got the iconic Leon side stripe, one blue, one red.
Yeah.
It had gold accents, Umbro kit. Absolutely stunning. I actually own that kit. I can't even get anywhere near it now. I think I get my left arm in, that's about it. But it's just.
I remember you owning that kit.
There you go.
Just wear it like a hand puppet.
Yeah, so there's my kit. And then to round it off, my stadium. I've mentioned this before in a few episodes when people have talked about it, but it is a throwback to one of my favourite holidays I've ever been on in Valencia. It is the Mestalla in the middle of Valencia there. Iconic stadium. I touched it. It was great. Didn't go in. But I could see the pitch through the door and it looked really nice. But the whole stadium, the whole vibe around it was just like really tranquil, which is mad when you look at Valencia fans. They are not tranquil. So it was nice going there on a non-match day to see it. And yeah, I think it's an amazing ground. Shame that they're not going to use it, but it's iconic and I love it. So there's my remix team.
There you go.
Remix. So we'll take a short break there. And I might even include an advert. Not that George will listen to it. And then we'll go to George's team. Hello. Now, usually in this small gap, we have a 3-second jingle that takes us straight back to the fun. And I'll be honest with you, that's because we've never had anything to fill the gap before. But now we do. So, you've listened to us play the football game countless occasions at this point. You've probably heard us have Sam and Jack from the football game onto the podcast before. And you know, we love this game. The card game that rewards obscure football knowledge under pressure. We love that. We love it. I mean, George, not so much, but you know, he's getting there. He's doing well. Now, if you love listening to us play that game and you think, hey, this seems like the perfect thing for me to buy, for me and my mates to play down the pub, wherever you want, well, if you go and buy yourself a copy, head to the checkout and enter promo code NostalgiaFC, you get yourself 10% off. So, hey, go do that. It's a fantastic game. We love it. The boys are great. Get on it. Now back to the podcast. Right. So there was my team, my remix team with the proper format. So now let's go on to George's let's do whatever the heck I want team.
Yep. Right. So, bearing in mind, I still don't think that was the rules. I think Drew's just shafted me massively. But I'm going to stick with the team I picked. Because why not? It's half my podcast as well, you know? Kind of.
get stuff doing. You got nothing.
I'm just happy to be here, guys. Just, yeah.
Aww.
I'd say it gets me out of the house, but I'm stuffed in a corner.
You, right. Yeah, you look like you've been held captive still, so let's...
Right, so my team is a different formation slightly than the last one. It's a 4-3-3. I think last time I went 4-2-3-1, I think. And in goal, I have Ben Foster. So straight off the bat. Yeah. But I couldn't...
Format out the window.
Yep, straight out of the window. There's the format. Pick, gone.
United and Wrexham player.
Yep. Yep. Obviously, for one moment and one moment only, don't really care about his first stint at Wrexham. He can say he won a trophy. No one cares about that trophy. He is pretty much the sole reason we got automatically promoted because of that penalty save. I watched that with my sister in a pub in London, and my sister, for the first time ever, found out how aggressive I get during football, because I jumped on the seat that I was on, put my arms out wide, and was like, yeah! And there was no one else in the bar. I thought loads of people would be watching the game, because I thought Wrexham and Notts County was a huge game. Apparently not. Who knew?
Who would have thought that Wrexham, between North Wales and Notts County, a team from Nottingham, wouldn't be a big deal in London?
Yeah. So that's the reason I've chose it. I said all along he shouldn't have come back after that penalty set, as in like the season after, and it got proven when he left. I also kind of want him on this podcast at one point. So if you're listening, Ben, you know, there's the
George, offer. Just tweet the format just so we can get you in the team. That's commitment.
right back. Again, screw the format. No one wants to grow up to be a Gary Neville, but he was actually kind of a good player.
Yeah.
I always hate that quote. And I know it was Jamie Carragher that said it, and he was just trying to like push his buttons and wind him up. Gary Neville was an incredible right back.
Unbelievable.
Like, incredible. And he always puts himself down as well. I almost feel like he's playing off that quote now. And it's like, you've got to remember, you were pretty good. You were in one of the most brutal managers' teams for 10 plus years.
Yeah. I think as well, with Gary Neville, one thing you can always say about him, no matter what he does in his career, no matter who doesn't want to be him, at least he's not Phil Neville.
Yeah. I love the fact they just fired Phil Neville because they were getting Messi and they were like, we can't have a team with Messi and managed by Phil Neville.
Phil's just got a new job, and the fans of that new job petitioned outside the ground to stop him from getting the job. That's a good start, isn't it?
Oh, God. Oh, no.
But is, yeah,
is it,
I mean...
Is it because they thought he was Gary Neville and realised he's manager?
Oh, yeah. After Valencia, yeah.
Yeah,
Gary Neville, like you said, unbelievable player. Best mates with David Beckham. And the link that they had, if you watch the Beckham doc, they sort of lead into the fact that they're best mates. Yeah. But the link that they had on the right-hand side was unbelievable. So good. And Gary Neville, much better attacking fullback than he was given credit for. Not the best, but he did bits.
For his era, yeah. He did.
Yeah.
I am going to go across the centre. Now, I actually told these two before we started recording, I could only think of one centre-back. So I couldn't decide on another. But the first one, so Drew said at the start of this podcast about me and Owen moving to England, and you wouldn't have thought that at the beginning of when we started this podcast. Well, at centre-back, I've chosen Bonucci.
Simply
for the quote in the Euros final after they beat England, because I've got to tell every England fan out there, everyone hates the term "it's coming home" so much. So when Bonucci grabbed the camera and screamed "it's coming to Rome," beautiful, absolutely beautiful, and I watched that surrounded by English people because I was in Cambridge at the time. And they were all like, oh, he can't do that. That's so rude. That's so. And I was just there with the biggest smile on my face. Loved it. And he always has a place in my heart. Don't give it care what kind of player he is. He was a great player, which helps. But
yeah. What I love about that is that his, if you ever heard him do interviews, his English isn't very good.
Yeah.
So he simply learned that phrase. He's on Duolingo for a week just trying to learn that phrase.
It's coming to Rome.
I hope Duolingo has that on it. It's coming home. It's coming Rome.
So he's actually centre back that I did think of. This one is now centre back that I couldn't think of, but off the top of my head, I've thought of it for the same kind of reason. I put Chiellini in there because that photo of him dragging Saka back. Funny as anything.
Absolute banter defender in the late years of his career.
Yeah,
really, that one, and we've mentioned it before, but that one and the one where it, playing for LA, it goes over his head and just bats it down like he's Shaq or something. It's like, nope, not today.
Yeah.
Chiellini, it's America, though, I thought you could do that.
Chiellini in his prime could have been seen as one of the best centre-backs in the world, maybe even the best centre-back at his very best. I'm trying to think who else was around.
Yeah.
Ramos, Godin, Chiellini, they were, three of the best during that era, weren't they?
Yeah, unbelievable.
I just didn't feel like Italians always seem to have a good centre-back, and I'm saying that, and I can't think of the top of my head one right now.
Maldini, Baresi.
No, right now.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Bonucci, still playing. Playing for Union Berlin.
Yeah.
Chiellini, still playing.
Yeah.
The story. Other players?
Bastoni,
there you go, right.
Bastoni.
Scalvini, oh, there you go. There's a few for you.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Right. Moving to the left-hand side of this defence. It's very clear I watched the David Beckham documentary. But I remember watching it, and this player came, this is kind of obvious who it's going to be. This player came up, and I was like, one of the most criminally underrated players ever is Dennis Irwin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Strong.
Genuinely, I don't get why he doesn't get like mentioned more or talked about more. And I think he has been chosen on this podcast before, actually.
I think your dad put him in.
I don't think he has, you know.
I have a feeling my dad might have. I don't know. I feel like someone did, but I just think he, for the kind of player he was and everything he did, and he was quite an attacking player as well. He was great. I think it's because he sort of, he didn't have like a big personality, or he didn't have, and he was in a team full of big personalities. Yeah.
He's sort of like the antithesis of David Beckham.
Yeah.
But like he was, like I said, like the antithesis of David Beckham, where he wasn't flash. He didn't look like a footballer, as you think of a footballer now. He did not look like that. He just looked like a bloke that was like, yeah, I'll play. But like I said, a fantastic player for United. And little known fact, his brother is Steve Irwin.
Jeez.
Okay. Just going to move on.
Okay.
Right. So
you might have just listened to the end of the podcast there, friends.
So two of my...
Dennis Irwin has not been picked.
Oh.
On the podcast.
Oh, I forgot you had a big spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go to you whenever.
Zordon knows all.
Zordon knows all. Right, moving forward into my midfield. Like I said, I definitely watched the David Beckham documentary. He was actually my right midfielder in my team when we originally did it. And I think I watched this documentary and I was like, I don't know if everyone see the videos of everyone just watching it and going, oh, Scholes, oh, Neville. Oh, Giggs, shouldn't mention him.
Get off.
I put Roy Keane in there.
Nice.
Because, can you name a scarier player in the history of football?
No.
Like, who's genuinely, genuinely terrifying? If it's either have him in my team or have to go against him, he's in my team every day.
Yeah, it's insane.
I can name scarier footballers, but not scarier footballers who were as good at football.
He's that scary That's a good shout. Is that scary that in the recent Manchester derby, United fans were chanting at Erling Haaland, Erling, how's your dad? Erling, how's your dad? Oh, about the tackle where Roy Keane ended his dad's career.
This is another thing I was going to say. Do you reckon Roy Keane is partly, this is a big shout, is partly responsible for Erling Haaland? I feel like Erling Haaland was like a revenge mission.
One day, sir, you will destroy Manchester United.
Manchester United are absolutely like crumbling now. Yeah, maybe.
Well, that buys into our theory that he's the Terminator, but we didn't realise that he was built by Alf Haaland. Alf Tech has built him.
Alf Tech.
Alf Tech.
Yeah, but I think Roy Keane, the thing about Roy Keane is, well, this is great. I don't know if you've seen this, but he's recently been modelling the dad collection for Adidas. And it's like cargo pants and like, and it's called the dad, it's not called officially the dad collection, but that's what people are calling it. And he's just, but it's like, right, Roy, give us a smile. It's just literally, Roy, smile. Roy, smile. It's just great. Great player. Great pick.
Okay,
I saw a video about Roy Keane on TikTok earlier today, and he was just going him explaining all of his red cards. And for about three of them, he just goes, it was your, because Gary Neville interviewing him, he goes, well, that one was your fault.
Gave the ball away, yeah.
Why is it my fault? It was like, you told the referee it should only be a yellow. So he sent me off.
Nah, he's a great player. Fantastic player.
Right, this one is actually a bit of a link back to my original team, because I put a player into Spike Drew last minute in that last team that I did, where I put Scott McTominay in, Scott McSauce, and I actually took out one of my favourite players ever just to spite Drew, which is interesting. So
it looks like a good pick now in hindsight, because he's good now.
Yeah, he seems to be yeah, doing it now. But the person I've picked is Daniele De Rossi.
Yeah.
Absolutely beast.
I've probably said this many times on the podcast. I think I love more than anything a holding midfielder, like just the sort of the player, what would be now like Casemiro, Rodri. I mean, you don't get them as much as you like used to, but I just love the sort of, they're not necessarily the best football players, but they're there to just sort of be the glue in the team. If they need to put a strong tackle in, they will. I love him. Daniele De Rossi for me was just, I loved him.
Yeah. Good holding midfielders are the difference between good teams and title winning teams.
Yeah.
Because if you've seen City without Rodri, they are the shadow of what they could be.
I think as well with De Rossi, like you said about the occasionally is a crunching tackle. That man dedicated his career to that. He even has a tattoo on his leg of a warning sign of him breaking somebody's leg. That's commitment to the bit. You can't have that tattoo, mint someone, then go, no, ref, I didn't mean it. It's like, look at your leg, Daniele. Yes, you did.
I slipped.
Right. Last midfielder. I'll sort of go quickly over this one. And it is a Wrexham player. Sorry. Apologies. Everyone in Wrexham going up and like getting promoted, Paul Mullen was like the big sort of, he's the reason, he's the one that got them up there, he's this, he's that. He is, in my personal opinion, and this isn't anything against Paul Mullen, incredible player, one of the hardest working players I've ever seen, but he's not the best Wrexham player by a mile, because Elliot Lee is unreal and unmatched in that Wrexham side. Quality of that man. He has such quick feet. The ball seems to stick to his feet. And bearing in mind, he's playing in League Two. So he probably isn't, you know, as good as when the ball sticks to Messi.
He's way
like
too good for that league, let's be honest.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of players in that league actually are way too good for that league, because Notts County's whole team is way too good for that league.
Yeah.
I don't know how we beat that Notts County team last year to the title, but. I won't say too much more on Elliot Lee, but I just think, and ever since he shaved his head, somehow he got better.
What's mad about Elliot Lee, and I didn't know this until fairly recently, his dad is Rob Lee, he used to play for Newcastle.
Yeah. Yeah,
that blew my mind. I didn't realize Robbie that was that old.
I realized after Carlos Tevez left West Ham, Elliot Lee took over the number 32 shirt from him.
Is that right?
That there it is.
Yeah,
that's why we have him around.
That's why you want to beat the football
game
company. Let you do
team one day. Not really. Pipe down, George. Next one.
Right, next one. So it's 4-3-3. So I've sort of got the attacking three. I'm going to go right winger first. And this, I've said this actually quite a few times on the podcast, but I have been converted. The best player in our generation of football is Lionel Messi. Full stop. I'm not just saying that just because he's won his eighth Ballon d'Or, which, yeah, okay, some people say is controversial. And I'm not just saying it because he's won the World Cup. I just think now that I look at it, Messi has so much more to his game than Ronaldo did. Ronaldo's an incredible player, don't get me wrong. But when Ronaldo moved to striker, he was just an incredible goal scorer. He was quick. He was strong. But Messi just seems to have all the skill and ability in every aspect, except for maybe defending, that you need as a footballer. And I just think, I don't think in our lifetime we'll ever see a player like him.
No.
Or as good as him.
No. Just, he's one of a kind. Like, people say comparing to Maradona, but I don't even think that's a fair comparison. I think he's just way and above everyone. Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Fun fact about Lionel Messi, he did not win Newcomer of the Year in the MLS Awards this season.
Oh.
The winner was Giamakis, that used to play for Celtic. A Greek striker, just a fun one for you. So Messi, very good. Not as good as Giamakis.
Yeah.
What do you think about Ballon d'Or? Do you think he should have won it?
Nah, Haaland should have won it.
Yeah, but I think so. Yeah.
I see why they give it to Messi. It's like the pinnacle, isn't it? You're like, you've won the World Cup. Here's your award.
Yeah, but does that not dampen the award now a little bit?
I mean, the award was dampened when they didn't let Lewandowski win it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, going on to my left winger. He featured in a Streets Will Never Forget team. It's Morten Gamst Pedersen.
Yeah.
I would actually, and I don't think, there probably is some out there, I would actually kill for a Morten Gamst Pedersen top. I don't care.
A Blackburn one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved him. I absolutely loved him. And I don't even, I'm probably remembering him as way better than he actually was.
No, I think he was that good. I think he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if he was as good as I think he was, he should have been playing for a top, top side.
But he was linked with United for a long time, wasn't he?
Yeah, just never went, though.
But, I mean, Blackburn were pretty good back in those days, weren't they?
Yeah.
David Bentley, David Dunn, him, other people also played there. Yakubu.
Santa Cruz.
There you go.
There you go. That's why he's here.
A great pick. He's a fantastic player. He's a legend of this podcast. A lot of people have picked him, and he's with good reason. He's just he is nostalgic football. That's, you know, that's the name of the game.
Now my striker is the farthest left field pick I could ever have, because if you ask him personally, he thinks he should be in this team. He thinks he should be in every single team that's ever been picked on Nostalgia FC. If you listen to any podcast he's been on, I'm trying to see if the penny drops for either of you.
I can think of two, but...
Go on, who are the two?
Nicholas Bentner.
No.
Or Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
No.
All right.
No, even more left field. He is the most arrogant person ever for a very, very average player. It's Troy Deeney.
What?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Have you ever listened to him on a podcast yes. recently?
Yes.
And how
it's
he says
diabolical.
I can't get over it. And I sort of just, I wanted to put him in just to talk about it, because I feel like the goal for Watford against, was it Leicester?
Leicester.
Yeah.
In the semi-finals of the playoffs has gone to his head. Because everyone plays that and goes, oh, what a moment. One of the best moments in football, that. And he's just gone, I must be one of the best players ever. When he realises all he had to do was smack the ball into the net where the goalkeeper was sort of out of position.
Yeah. It would have been harder to miss.
Yeah. But I just, if anyone hasn't heard any of him on any podcast, just go like YouTube it or search on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. It's so funny.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. I think he's good.
No, so do I. I just don't think he's as good as he thinks he is.
No, yeah. No, he's not. No.
What has Harry Kane got that I haven't?
The goals?
A Skechers boot deal. Have some of that.
A hat trick for Bayern Munich?
Or many of them?
No.
An England cap.
Ooh. Yeah. I think the podcast he goes on as well, like, no one calls him out on it. And I sort of am waiting for the day that someone does. So Troy Deeney, yeah, come on our podcast.
Yeah, come on, Troy.
It'd just be him in every position.
Second favourite Troy, after, of course, Troy Bolton off of High School Musical.
I was trying to think of a football player.
Nope. Just Zac Efron in High School Musical.
Fair enough. He's on the bench.
Right, super sub. I was going to go for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but that was too obvious, as he is literally, that's poor his Ollie. Nickname.
No one's picked him because he's too obvious.
Has he actually not been picked?
I don't think he's been picked, ever.
Oh, scrap that then. I'm picking him.
Ah,
give him a tally. Go on.
Okay, one in the box. Yeah. Who was it going to be?
Javier Hernandez.
Ah, nice. Yeah, it's pretty much just the Mexican version of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'll go with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer then. If you want to argue it anymore, just for the goal against Bayern Munich in the Champions League.
Yeah, I never really knew that he actually played a lot of his time on the wing.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
great. He's a great player.
He always came across as like the nice guy, but again, if you watch the Beckham documentary, apparently not so much.
No, no. Also, absolutely garbage manager.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. I also think after that Bayern Munich goal, I feel like his own team were trying to kill him for some reason. They were that excited. The amount of like arms that were around his neck in that celebration, and he even said in the documentary, he was like, "I was being choked out."
Fair play. One of the most iconic comebacks in the Champions League final. And I think, yeah, I mean, he is a super sub. You're right. He is, just is. The amount of goals he scored off the bench, unbelievable. I think, yeah, just a great player. Great, great player.
Yeah.
Manager,
I've actually gone for like someone I hate.
As well.
No, someone I hate. So I was the same as Drew in the fact that it was like, so I want to pick a manager who isn't just like a United manager, isn't Alex Ferguson, isn't, I was going to say a good Wrexham manager, but even the current one's not that good. But I kind of, and I was going to say Gary Speed, but we've already done all the tributes to Gary Speed, things like that. I'm actually going to go for someone who I actually think is the best manager in the world, and that's Pep Guardiola.
Wow. Didn't see that coming.
There's not a lot more I can say. It was actually between him and Jurgen Klopp. I think they both are just incredible managers, and they're both two managers that I would have loved to have seen at United. But instead, we got right. Hold on, David Moyes, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Louis van Gaal, Erik ten Hag, Ralph Rangnick, Jose Mourinho. Yeah, some of them got success, but I mean, I feel as though, and I know people always go, oh, it's the players as well, it's the players as well. I was like, yeah, but you don't realise that the manager puts together that team and gets them to play the way they play. So I think Pep Guardiola is one of the greatest managers ever, if not the greatest manager ever. I think it's quite hard to argue.
He's a fantastic manager. He is fantastic.
I hate him.
And he's an iconic panto villain as well. Just the way he reacts to stuff on the sideline, just great. The one where he's like going to Anfield, it's just so good.
Do you think I had this conversation with someone recently? Do you think he does it for the camera?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I saw a video.
Like I think the first game of this season, Haaland had scored. Was it again?
He scored twice.
Burnley.
Yeah.
And then he was having a go at him on the pitch and like pushing his head and stuff. And I was like, surely that's for camera, because
he did it on the day that they won the league, the first time under him, with Raheem Sterling, just like berating him on the pitch. And they literally celebrating winning the title. And he's like, Raheem, You must pass it there. I was like, come on, man. Give him some slack. Great right. manager, though.
So the stadium I picked last time, Wembley, because I said it was Wrexham's second home. I'm going to go with Wrexham's first home, the race course. And I'm sorry, but it's not the Stoke Kai race course. It's just the race course. I hate it when like names get changed because of sponsors. But also the oldest international ground in the world, which is incredible. And you two have just seen the first Wales game for...
4 years.
4 years there. So it's nice to see that...
We were at that one as well.
We were at that one as well.
Yeah. Nice to see that they're sort of trying to bring Wales back, football back up to North Wales, like international football. The amount of memories I've had in there, and a lot of those memories were when you could shout and you'd hear the echo, but now it's absolutely full, it's banging, it's buzzing. And like people could get annoyed with that, and there is some form of like I have where it's like it's my team, like you Americans that are coming over and watching it and like taking tickets away from people, but actually that's people fall in love with football how they fall in love with football. It doesn't matter what it's for, they're getting into it and they're actually trying to understand it. So yeah, but it's absolutely buzzing on game day now, and it's so incredible to see from what me and my dad were going to even 5 years ago. It's so much of a better atmosphere, and we're going to get another stand now. So it's going to be incredible.
Yeah. There's growth for you after 3 years of podcasting. I didn't tell people that you were a fake fan there.
Yeah.
Because they already know.
I've literally got on my phone my season ticket, and it says how long I've been season ticket holder. So
I had it loaded up, just ready to go. Ready for you. Photoshop is a fine thing. Move on.
The kit. Drew actually recently messaged into our nostalgia group saying, George, this is your wet dream. It's Roma's third kit this year.
Yeah.
I want it. It's nice like kit. 100 quid, so I can't afford it.
No.
But I can look at it, and it looks nice. if anyone doesn't know it, there's no sponsor. I hate sponsors on kits. I really do. And it's just plain black with like an Aztec-y thing on the shoulders, like pattern.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so nice.
Well, I assume it's more like a Roman pattern, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, probably. That'd make more sense, wouldn't it?
Famous Aztec.
Roma inspired by the Mexican ancestors. Beautiful. Hey, what a team. Nice little remix.
Yeah.
Mine was like a full remix, and George was like a semi remix. But hey, it's a beautiful team all the same. It's a pick and mix thing. That's why we keep them around. Good old Zordon. It's always got them quips.
Oh my God. Is that Santa?
No, you idiot. You're 29 years old. It's time to grow up. Are you tired of getting Lynx Africa and socks for Christmas? Well, have we got the thing for you? It's Nostalgia FC with a great Christmas shirt swap.
You get a shirt. You give a shirt. It's as simple as that.
If you want to get involved, just slide right into our DMs.
Merry Christmas.
I didn't give you any more lines. Why are you still talking? All right, cool. So to wrap up this remixed 3-year anniversary episode, we'll go back through our teams one last time to remind you what they are, and then we'll wrap this thing up. So for me, my remixed 11, I went for a 4-4-2. I have Carlos Kameni in goal, Gianluca Zambrotta, Chris, Olof Melberg and Juan Capdevila in defence. In midfield, I've got Joaquin, Marcos Senna, Kaká and Shimao Sabrosa. Up front, Adriano and Luca Toni. On the bench, I've got Guti. The manager is me. The kit is the Leon 2005-2006 home kit. And the stadium is the Mestalla in Valencia.
Yep. So my remix team, I went for a 4-3-3. In goal, I had Ben Foster. Right back, Gary Neville. Two centre-backs of Bonucci and Chiellini. Left back, Dennis Irwin. My midfield three was Daniela De Rossi, Roy Keane, Elliot Lee. On the right wing, I had Lionel Messi. Left wing, I had Morten Gamst-Pedersen. And up top, I had Troy Deeney. Super sub was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, sort of kind of out of pity because no one's picked him yet. The manager was Pep Guardiola. Stadium was the race course. And the kit was Roma's third kit this year. If you're listening to this in the future, it is the 23-24 season.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Which one of you wins if that team goes head-to-head?
Well, he's got Messi, but he's also got a League Two player in there and Troy Deeney up front. So I think it'd be quite a close game.
I think
you're the impartial centre. You tell us.
I think Drew's.
Can't even remember the teams now.
We've literally just said them.
I know.
What is the point in you being here if you're not listening?
Quips.
Quips.
What if I told you that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer comes in the first minute because I don't like Troy Deeney?
Is that super sub?
It's still a sub.
He plays 89 minutes. I'm going to say, purely because of the attacking trio that Drew's got, 3-2 win. Messi does a lot of the heavy lifting.
Where was the attacking trio in mine? I've gone 4-4-2.
Kaká, Adriano and Tony.
All right, okay.
You did say it was a 4-1-2-1-2.
I did. Yeah. Fair. All right. Thanks, Dr. Quip. Right. Owen Quip de Cone. Right then.
God.
So that wraps up our episode. We've come a long way in 3 years. Thanks for being a part of it. If you've listened to every episode, I mean, fair play to you if you've listened to every episode. I know George hasn't. So, so thanks for listening. Thanks for being on the journey with us. We're very, very excited to continue on this journey. We've got some great guests lined up soon. We've got some more concepts. We've got all that fun stuff, as we always do, coming up. But we thought we'd give you this little special episode as a 3-year anniversary special. So happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, boys.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You are talking yourself out of this spot. Right, so we can wrap up here. Thanks again for listening for the past 3 years and for now. If you want to find us on socials, you can.
At NostalgiaFC Pod on Instagram, TikTok, X, Facebook. And also you can email us on nostalgiafcpod@gmail.com.
Yes, and if you want to send us some takes, you can.
At Reddit, we are the user Rough Football Takes, and there we also have the Nostalgia FC Takes subreddit.
There you go. Join us again next week where we'll have some more nostalgic football fun. That was our remixed 11s, or a remix and a pick and mix 11. And what teams they were.
And what teams they were.
And what teams they were. It always sounds weird when three people say it.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Well, all right, Owen, off you go. This would usually be the point where we play the football game, but as I've just told the boys, I've left it in my car and I cannot be bothered walking outside because
it's very
it is raining
cold outside.
Yeah, so instead, we're going to plug a little something we did with the football game boys fairly recently. Myself and Owen jumped on their brand new YouTube series called Versus. We'll let you watch it, but spoiler alert, we get absolutely shafted. To the point where they've now changed the rules of the game. But
that's
no,
double shafting for me.
Yeah, we gave ourselves a good showing, and it's a really fun concept. Basically, a football trivia panel show on YouTube. We were the first guests. Go check it out at the Football Game Co's YouTube channel. Follow the boys, get involved with the game, and we'll get back to playing the football game soon. But yeah, a fantastic game, a fantastic YouTube series, and go check it out.